ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival, and it is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I am pleased to have Pastor Butch Paul join me today as my co-host, and we are going to be bringing you our opinions and commentary on today's economic and political events. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I'm doing
really
fantastic.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I actually am too.
Are you doing okay also?
I'm doing okay. I had a good day and buy a white shirt. I never wear a white shirt, but I'm doing a wedding Saturday, and the groom and the bride asked me to wear a white shirt. So I'm wearing a white shirt to do the wedding in. Nothing else, just a white shirt.
Well, speaking of weddings, I might have hope yet.
Oh, really?
Newlyweds, 100 and 102 find love after meeting at a senior living facility.
And well, that gives you another 5 years, doesn't it?
So I might still have some hope there, you know? God bless them. God bless them, you know?
Amen.
And they really don't even look, there is a picture of them, they don't even look 100 and 102, but she's actually going to be turning 103 August 8th. So,
wow.
So there's hope for me.
Congratulations. Congratulations for them.
Absolutely. And
any you single guys out there, you know, Melody's looking. If you're single, give her a holler.
Their names are John and Phyllis. So, and guess what? Phyllis, who I mentioned is turning 103 on August 8th. She's originally from West Virginia.
Oh, really?
So there you go.
How about that? Well, bless their heart. I'm proud of them. I'm proud for them. That's great.
Yeah, at least they're not living in sin, right?
Exactly right.
Her mother lived to be 106.
That is phenomenal.
So it really is. So congratulations to the newlyweds.
Do you happen to see her maiden name on there, what it was?
No.
Okay, just curious. Okay.
No, I don't think they even have her mother's name on here. And we don't know how many times she was married.
Yeah, true. I just want to put the maiden name and where she come from in the state and their maiden name. So anyway, that's wonderful.
Yeah, isn't that great? So anyway, gold prices today. Let's get to the gold prices before my computer freezes on me once again. Still have not had it fixed. My computer person is just having he's busy doing a doctor's office with the hospital and everything like that, and it's just taking a little bit longer than they had anticipated. So, you know, I'm on the back burner. Well, I'm not on the back burner. I'm number two, but so he'll get here when he can, which should be hopefully tomorrow. But in the meantime, my computer is working, and gold is up $1.20 in the New York spot price after market at $1,397. Silver's up 7 pennies today at $15.18. Platinum was down $5 at $815, along with palladium down almost 1% at $1,555. The USDX today was up 0.13 at $97.50, and crude oil was up 30 cents at $57.96. Paper markets today, the Dow came back. A couple times it was triple digits down, but it rallied back at the end of the day, probably because, guess what? They came out with a statement and said, Yahoo, you had Mnuchin and the Chinese trade ambassador talking. So, okay, everything is good again. So, market is going to go back up. So the Dow did come back. It was still in negative territory, but only by 22 points at 26,783. You have the NASDAQ up 43 points at 8,141. The S&P was up 2,979. 10-year yield, 2.05%. We all know that Jerome Powell, the Fed chief, is heading to D.C. for 2 days of testimony beginning tomorrow and Thursday. And we pretty much all know what he's going to say. You know, he's going to talk about the slowing economy, and we're going to be accommodative and give you whatever you want in order to keep the stock market from falling apart, because it's symbolic. The stock market is symbolic of a good economy. And that's what they all believe. That's not what they all believe, but that's what they all tell you. It's what they tell us. And let's see if there's anything else in the financial news arena. It was pretty much the same old, you know, again, the trade concerns. Global stocks did drop for the third day. Of course, there's a lot of warnings about Europe. We saw oil rise. And it's pretty much, it was interesting, there was a debt ceiling article earlier in the day talking about how that can be hit in early September. We see the tensions between Japan and South Korea rising. And, oh, this is interesting. The U.S. State Department approves a possible $2.2 billion arms sale to Taiwan. Isn't that just dandy? It's the only way we can make any money is selling arms to various countries. But, hey, you know, we ran, everybody doesn't, we all remember the Fast and Furious. Let's see. But really, it was, there was one article out of the Wall Street Journal, the myth of monetary stimulus is unraveling. So, I saw the headline, I didn't have a chance to read it, so we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. But, you know, it was pretty much today the same as yesterday. You know, that doesn't see, I don't know if the market is so, the news is all focused on Epstein. And, you know, we're going to hear about this for, you know, forever.
Oh, wow.
And for, I know it. So that's what's going on. And
well, I have got a couple reminiscing articles I think you may find interesting.
All right.
Of course, you know, Ross Perot passed away.
Yes, I did.
89 years old. And say what you want to about the guy. He won't.
I think we lost Butch.
He not say it's going to be I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, he warned us about NAFTA. It'd be a great sucking sound. He said it was going to happen, and he was threatened out of the race for president. Now, that actually happened. They threatened his family, and that's really a true story. So whatever, say whatever you want to about Ross Perot. He's 89 years old. Even when he was sick the last few months, he was still showing up at work and trying to do his job. So he was at least the kind of man that stuck to his guns and did what he had to do. He had some determination and the desire to keep on moving. And that's, to me, that's a big plus in a man. So anyway, I just about to pass that on. Ross Perot's gone, and for whatever you may think of him, he did tell us the truth about some trade deals. And now this is something to think about. It does kind of bother you, at least it doesn't me, because I remember these from the time I was a little fella. It's the end of the road for the Volkswagen Beetle, LD. The last version of Beetle is going to run off this week in Puebla, Mexico. It's the end of it. They started back in 1938, and my goodness, Melody. I mean, you growing up, you remember that they were a big deal, especially the hippies. And they still look for the old Volkswagen van just because of the idea of the past significance of them and what they were. But the Volkswagen's going, the Beetle's going away. And they have been a staple on the worldwide stage for a lot of years, haven't they?
Well, yeah, but they were gone there for a while. They stopped production in them for a while. And then they brought them back. But they did stop production
went away this
for
time.
Quite a while.
But that's just something, you know, that I never owned one. I almost come close by one time. Nothing really good wrong with the cars, but people I talked to that had them said they were fine little automobiles. The ones I tried out, they were all standards, and my feet were so big I couldn't hit the clutch and the brake without hitting everything at one time. So I didn't buy it because I couldn't drive it. You know. But
the
now they come out the automatic models and these things.
The Volkswagen Bug.
Go ahead.
The Volkswagen Bug was what I learned to drive on. And you're right, it was a stick shift. And I remember I went to take my to go to get my license, my driver's license, and I did fail it the first time. I probably shouldn't tell that on the air, but I did. And the reason is I passed the written part. That was no big deal. But when I got in to drive away, I'm in a little VW Bug. and my police officer that got in was probably 6'5". He could barely fit in the car, so he's sitting there all scrunched up, and that just made me so nervous that there's just one little thing that he told me to do something, and I blew it. So, but yeah, I learned on a VW bug.
I took my test in a Willie's Jeep. You remember those?
I do.
I took a Willie Jeep. It was just an old Willie Jeep, stick shift. I had to learn to drive stick shift. Dad said, if you can't learn how to drive a stick shift, you're not going to drive. But if you can't, you know, everybody can drive an automatic as far as getting in and going. But I learned how to drive that, and I took my test in it. I'll never forget that. It was easy to park. It's like a Volkswagen. It was, you know, about as long as my desk. It wasn't very big. So it's easy to get in and park it. But that's what took mine in, believe it or not. And there wasn't any turn signals on it. I had to use my hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When the turn signal was on it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is, I mean, those are things you and I remember. To tell somebody today that they didn't put turn signals on back then, that sounds really foreign, doesn't it?
Well, I think, well, that was, well, you're way old. Well, you're way older than I. So,
of course.
Your vehicles might not have had turn signals, but mine did.
Well, this one did not. Although they came out with them later than that, but I remember I had to learn the hand signals. And I did that. I remember when I did it, he said, turn right here. And I put my hand to it and done. And he looked over at the steering column, I guess, to see if there was no signal there. He didn't know until I did that. And, I did that, and I guess it impressed him. Anyway, be that as it may, I took my test in a Willie's Jeep. So there you go. Now, that's a history and reminisce for the day.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So, who are we going to chew up on today?
Well, there's a lot to talk about here, and you probably saw this too, that job openings suffered the worst start to a year since 2009. Now, this I did not know. You need to read the article to get it all in there, but U.S. job openings only hit a high for a while in 2018, but then they all of a sudden went into a slump. It says that we suffered the worst year since 2009 with job openings. I didn't really think about that. But with the unemployment being 3 points or whatever, Never dawned on me that could be slowing down, but I guess it did. You know, that's quite a statement in today's economy.
Well, I could see why it would slow down. I mean, if everybody's in full employment, then, you know, they're not going to have that many jobs. You know, you would see that decline a little bit. But my problem is they're talking about all these jobs that they can't fill. So on one hand, they're talking about jobs that they can't fill. And on the other hand, we see the jobs declining, job openings declining a little bit. So, but I could kind of see that a little bit if you have full employment.
Well, you know, and it says many feeling vulnerable despite economic gains. Now, this is interesting. It's out of Washington, AP. Americans are generally satisfied with their personal finances, but many lack confidence in their ability to afford retirement and emergency expense or even their daily living costs. Now, this, we'll cover this more, but later on, different reasons. But this has actually happened to a lot of people that I know personally. They're making it, but I'm telling you, they're just barely hanging in there. So roughly two-thirds, 67% described their financial situation as generally good, up slightly from 62% who said so at the start of the year, according to a survey by the Associated Press. Their brighter economic outlook reflects in part a decade-long U.S. economic expansion that is now the longest one on record. Expansion has sliced unemployment, revived the housing market, and boosted overall household wealth. But some groups, especially young adults, and this is the millennials, racial minorities and poor, say they remain financially insecure. Their anxiety is among the consequences of the economic expansion, which has benefited their most affluent far more than it has others. And we know that Trump's tax cut did that. The richest Americans now hold a greater share of the nation's wealth than they did before the Great Recession began in 2007. Housing and college costs have imposed a much heavier strain on today's young adults than they did an old generation. And 4 decades of sluggish pay growth have depressed starting salaries for people who are beginning their careers. And speaking of the college costs, the college loans, I did not know this. Do you know that if a student gets loans, and something happens, they die or whatever, that bill's going to be paid by the parents. Did you know that?
I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, I was on that was on this morning on another talk show I listened to, talking about finances, but the bill it has to be paid. You can't declare bankruptcy and not pay it.
But if I know that. Student,
yeah.
I know, but if you die.
If you die, the parents, whoever's left, and you look for, double check this, it was on a very reliable program this morning, somebody else got to pay it. Now that, to me, is almost like what you call it, indentured servitude, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And that's what, I'm serious about this. This is true. Now, that's the guy I talked about, was the economic expert, supposedly. I had the chance to research that, but I wouldn't see a reason why he would get on there and say that in front of thousands of people, you know, and take a chance of being called a liar. But that's amazing. That is really amazing.
Here it says, according to the U.S. Department of Education, if the borrower of a federal, now a state might be different, of a federal student loan dies, the loan is automatically canceled and the debt is discharged by the government.
But try
unfortunately, private student loans do not offer the same liability protections. So that might be
Okay.
Yeah, that might be the difference. Now, lots of times, maybe if you have a co-signer, you know, then yes, they would be, you know, whoever co-signs for you,
that makes
they
sense
would
to
be
co-sign
responsible.
For, yes. Yes.
Yeah. But maybe, and this doesn't really go into the private, but, you know, it's not here to, you know, learn about it now. But I'll look it up and see.
Do look it up and see. And I'd like to know if you have any answers. But, you know, this kind of, you get a loan, I understand you should pay it back. I'm not questioning that fact. But but whenever someone can't pay lives, and you know, and there's no way out of it. Period. You can't declare bankruptcy and say I can't afford whatever. Of all the money, the trillions of dollars wasted by the Fed in the states, I'm not saying they shouldn't try to pay it back. I'm not saying that at all. But isn't that kind of nitpicking at someone who maybe can't afford the payment for a few months? Isn't that kind of sad?
Yes. And I was just thinking too. I'm still back on the student loan. If you have an estate, you know, I wonder if you know, you'd have to pay the debt off with your estate.
That may
be
true.
But I mean, if you have a student loan, I can't imagine that you'd have much of an estate. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, we're about ready to go to break, I think, anyway, so getting that time already. I think it is.
But you're absolutely correct, though. I mean, and the whole point is when we're looking at loan debts and the cost that it costs these kids and so forth, it shouldn't cost this much. And it's all a factor of a fiat dollar. It takes more of those dollars
truly
to
is.
Buy the things.
And that's
why
it's all
so
control
expensive.
Mechanism.
Absolutely.
It keeps them under control. Yes.
Hey, we're going to return. We're out of control today, Butch, but we'll be right back. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody
wants to rule the world. Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Listing of Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. It's good that we're having sort of a light discussion today to some degree, Butch.
Yeah, I think so. You know, there is, we could always get into heavy, heavy stuff that, and it really, we have to once in a while. But once in a while, a little bit of a discussion on some things that are important, but not as heavy. It's kind of good. And, you know, you've been hearing this big battle with Trump over the census question about are you a U.S. citizen or not on the forum. And that's been a big battle going on with the courts and him. And apparently, the majority of Americans think it should be. As a matter of fact, I do too, to be quite honest with you. Non-citizens should not be counted in the census because they're not legal citizens. They have no statute in law when it comes to the setup of Congress or anything else. They should be not counted, but the majority of Americans say they shouldn't be. And Pelosi said, "Well, Trump's trying to make America white again. What is this? What in the name of God is this?" And the 60 million Hispanics in the U.S., which is it's a record number of Hispanics in the U.S., I'm not picking on that. The point of it is, what is this? If these are mostly illegals, why is Trump saying trying to make a nation white again? Did he say that only white Americans can be counted? Melanie, where's all this crap come from?
I mean, they just make it out. They just make it up as they go along. I asked someone, and I said, well, I don't see anything wrong with asking if you're a citizen. Then the illegals aren't going to complete the form. Well, so what's that got
they
to
shouldn't
do with
count.
The day of light? And they should, if they're here, count. They should complete it anyway.
Oh.
What is wrong with that? Are you a citizen? Hey, if they have a problem with asking if you're a citizen, then I have a problem with them asking me if I'm black, white, Hispanic, or whatever. Take that question off, too. Take
Absolutely.
All those questions off. All they need to know is how many people are in your house. That's what it's, you know.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Ask the same questions that were on the census back in... You know,
1950 or whatever.
Yeah.
I just don't get them. I mean, it makes me angry that Pelosi, what a stupid man. Now, come on, let's calm down. I mean, where would you come up with the idea? Just because Trump wants to know whether they're a citizen or not, why does that come up and equate to being a white question? How does that work?
I have no idea. I mean, my mind didn't even.
No. No, I mean, this woman either is senile, which is probably true, or she was told to say this. They called more problems or whatever. They called more division. This has nothing to do with citizenship. Red, yellow, black, white, I don't care what you are. If you're a citizen, you're a citizen. And you should be a citizen in order to be counted in the congressional records of what the money is allotted to the states and the voting membership, the members of Congress. This has nothing to do with illegals. Illegals have no standing in the United States government, period, except to eat off me and you all the time. Other than that, no. Did I make that pretty clear? Was that clear enough? Or should I go further?
I think you did. You kind of scared me.
Oh, I can tell. Poor little thing just got so scared.
I got so scared. Well, I'll tell you what, today, and I was just trying to find the article. I don't have it because this was something I did want to talk about today, but I couldn't print it up because my computer was froze. But anyway, it was about the – it's important because I want to talk about it, and I don't want to talk about it unless I have the article. But it was about the immigration containments on the border. I didn't know that they were private companies that were holding all of these immigrants that everybody's complaining about.
So, were the taxpayers paying for private companies to do this?
Yes.
I did not know that.
I did not know they were private companies.
I didn't either.
And what's interesting is because you have banks, there's been three or four banks now that refuse to do banking with these companies that are that have these detention centers. Okay? They're refusing to do business with these people that are, have the detention centers for the immigrants that are trying to come into this country. So my question is, why is that any different than from a baker who doesn't want to do business with someone that he chooses?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question,
you know?
And a good point.
So
good
why aren't people outraged at these banks who don't want to do business? Yeah.
Banks are doing business with gun manufacturing more. I mean, they're getting pretty picky.
Yeah. And to me, why isn't anybody out there crying discrimination?
Good point. And
where
why
is
aren't
that
the white...
any...
Go ahead.
Now, granted, the baker was ruled that, you know, he didn't have to do it, or I think one was one forced to do the silly cake or something, I don't know, but
no, he finally didn't have to do it, right?
So, but I mean, it's just, but where is anybody complaining about? But the key point I wanted to make, though, too, was I did not know that these detention centers were private companies.
I did not know it either. But, you know, Trump said something a few days ago that I had to agree with. You know, they were bemoaning these people being put in detention centers or cages, whatever you want to call them. And Trump said, tell them to stay home. Duh. If they're criminals, and I hate it for the children. I agree, it's not generally the children's fault. But criminals don't have rights, Melody. They don't have any reason to expect anything but other being treated like criminals. I didn't say treat me inhumanely. But I did say that why should they expect air-conditioned rooms and the gourmet food and medical care, which they all get. They all get medical care and all that stuff while they're there. But why should they expect that? They're criminals. They're coming in a country against our laws, and we're feeding them, we're clothing them, we're housing them right now, whether that I like it or not. When I went into the military in 1971, I went into Texas and Lackland Air Force Base. They still had the World War II barracks. There was no air conditioning. They were clapboarded buildings. All they had for cooling was a big exhaust fan on one end of the barracks, and it was hot. It was muggy. It was miserable. Went into Biloxi, Mississippi for schooling, and at Kessler Air Force Base. It was the same thing, only worse, muggy. Lay in bed at night and sweat. Take 3-4 showers a day. Their houses, as good as we were, and I was wearing a U.S. uniform. But I didn't complain with any good. And I wasn't breaking any laws. These guys are criminals, and they're going to whine over how they're housed? I don't get it.
Well, there is now, correct me. I'm sure you will, but please do correct me if I'm wrong. There are two separate issues here. You've got the illegal immigrants, and then you got the other group
asylum
that are coming here for asylums.
Right.
You know, so you can't really call them illegal. They only become illegal when the government drops them off in cities someplace.
There you go.
They don't have any documentation. Then they come here legally. They're trying to get here and do the right thing, but then we take them in, drop them off, and now all of a sudden they're illegal.
That's right.
Because I don't know if they get papers or anything like that to say, hey, you know, I'm now here under asylum and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. But
well, be that
there
as
are
may,
two groups.
There are two groups, but the problem is, be that as it may, when the facility is overwhelmed, I mean, there was, what was it, almost 800,000 apprehended last month, I believe it was. If I remember right, the number. No, almost 100,000, I believe it was. 970,000. They come in to get asylum. Good for them. But when the facility's overwhelmed, they can't hold anymore. What do you do with them?
But the difference is because these are private detention centers, so they don't have to comply to any federal regulation and so forth. I'm sure there's some that they do, but they're not going to go out and build proper housing and try to store it and so forth. And for safety and you know, medical reasons and so forth. Yeah, I mean, there should be some level of, you know, proper
maintenance of the place.
Yeah, but because they're private.
I would say overall,
and, you know, it answered my question. It's like, well, how hard is it for government to go in there and fix the problem? Well, now I know why they can't, because these are private industries.
And they still could tell them, hey, if you're going to do business with us, you have to do it right.
What are they going to do with them then?
That's the question. That's the whole point. They're overwhelmed. What are they going to do with them?
Yeah.
Are we going to build motels for them and put them along the border and let them live there for 10 years to get everything settled and they keep coming and backing up then even? We have a problem there. The nation is being overwhelmed. With numbers, legal or not illegal, makes no difference. We're overwhelmed. The borders, as Trump said before he got elected, need shut, period, until we sort this mess out. Is that a harsh statement? No, it's a fair statement. Let them know the border is shut. Don't come. We can't bring you right now. Let them know in advance.
Let them know in advance.
Yep. Starting next month, the borders are all shut. We're shutting it down. Every port in this country is shutting down to aliens until we get this sorted out. Then we'll start back.
There's been moratoriums before
on
immigration numbers.
There has to be once in a while.
So you're right, but no one's calling it that. No, and all we ever heard about was the wall. Well, that's not going to fix the problem.
No, it's not.
And that's, again, it's just another thing. We have these issues, but they're not being dealt with the true core of the problem.
Well, that's this country been doing that.
And you can't just always blame the Democrats.
No, you can't. No. Republicans had 2 years of fixing, didn't they?
Yes.
They had 2 years to fix it. Didn't do anything.
No, they were too busy trying to push the tax reform through.
But, you know, but this government, this country has had a habit over the last, well, probably longer than I've been alive, but over the last several decades, of just trying to patch the problem. Now fix it. Put a Band-Aid on it. It's hemorrhaging, but put a Band-Aid on it, or two. They don't get in to address the issue and stopping the blood flow. They just put a Band-Aid on it. Same thing with finances and the fiat currency. Instead of trying to correct it so it'll work out for everybody to profit the whole country, they put a Band-Aid on it. It makes it look good for a while.
Then we have another correction, and the citizens, the taxpayers, get caught.
Yep.
And they lose their money, and then they got to start from scratch, and they have to build it all up again, and then they get to lose it again. It's a cycle that's not going to change because they don't recognize it. We're having record highs in stock markets. Everybody's feeling good. Do you think there's those people that are in the stock market, do you think they're selling and getting into something to secure their what they have? No, they're not. How dumb is that? Because because government and Wall Street keep manipulating the people in thinking that, and government... Truly, government has a vested interest in keeping Wall Street happy and to keep these numbers high. Because what happens to people's retirement accounts when the stock market crashes? We know Social Security is broke. We know Medicare is broke. And they want to keep expanding them. So what are people going to do when they lose 50, 60, 70% of the retirement account, their money that they're planning on retiring? What are they going to do? Government has to keep them happy for now. So they do have a vested interest in keeping these stock markets high because that's their only way these people are surviving. You can't get a job when you're over 65.
It's all a bubble.
It's all a bubble. And the point of it is going to crash, and it's not going to come back. And there is no money to extend Social Security to you. There is no money. And I don't care how much you tax the rich. Do I agree that the corporate should have went from 35 to 20? No, I don't. I'm a corporation. I benefited from it. But I don't think it was the right thing to do. But it's what they had to do to keep this little charade going. I mean, I don't understand why people can't see this charade. Because I guess they're all financially invested in it, too. So, hey, let's go with the program, because you know what? All my money is in my retirement accounts, and if I don't go along with the program, guess what? It's
ridiculous.
You know, and I was reading just today, people think they need $1.7 million to retire. Really? And you want to talk about inflation?
Wow.
$1.7 million, they feel comfortable in retirement.
Wow.
I mean, aren't these numbers staggering to anybody
but me? They are staggering. And I'm reading here, I'll share this next article. We have time for a break. Prescription drug prices are skyrocketing at 5 times the rate of inflation. Now, I don't want to bust anybody's bubble. But the older you get, usually the more prescription drugs you're on. Hey, it's a fact of life, like it or not. That's just really true. And would you believe this? 41 drugs have raised their prices by more than 100% over the last year. And Prozac is up 879% since last year. It's an antidepressant drug. But the average is 17% increase across the border. Melody, people buy medicine. And now, whether you agree with it or not, it makes no difference. I know it's pharmakia, I know it's in the Bible and all that. But people still take it. And if they kind of depend on it, isn't that also robbing them? I mean, 879% increase in one alone.
Aren't you glad we have this big fight? There's more money being spent on the opioid issue than it is for prescription drugs. That's
absolutely
not going to change.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's not going to change. I saw where, there was a suggestion from this administration that, prescription companies would have to now show their prices during their commercials. Well, that was thrown out of court. It was denied. That's not going to happen.
Pharmakia.
You'd have to have every other company would have to show their prices, too.
That's
true. It was kind of a stupid thing to even... It was a waste of time.
And pharmakia,
it didn't even make sense to begin with. But, hey, everybody got behind it thinking that, maybe prescription drugs are going to come down.
It's a $1 trillion industry. They're not going to slow it down too much.
They're not going to slow it down too much. Hey, aren't you glad things trickle down?
Oh, yes.
Inflation trickles down.
Right down to my wallet. Right out my wallet.
Hey, we'll be right back. Please.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Heading into the break, we were talking about, of course, the inflation. It's getting a little testy there, so it was a good thing we went into the break. And what's next, Butch?
Well, you may not know this. A lot of my listeners listen to my program know this. Back in 1998, I was about ready to renew my driver's license. This is a long story, make it short. Mm-hmm. It's spoken in my heart, seriously, by the Holy Spirit, you can't do that. You can't do this. And I, what? I mean, it's a question. Everybody else, what do you mean? And I found out that they started in 2000 or thereabouts doing a digital picture of your face, which is a fingerprint of your face. This didn't go into the state. It went international. And it is not the mark of the beast, but it's a close facsimile thereof, because it's a number. It's your private number, fingerprint of your face. It goes worldwide. And I told the then governor, I fought with him for 12 years. I didn't have a driver's license in 12 years. Wrote back and forth to the governor, met with the governor three times. Finally, he did approve it with us without a digital picture on our license. And since then, we had to do some other things to have it changed. But they finally admitted the FBI and ICE are using driver's license photos without the owner's knowledge or consent. Now, this is something I've been telling for years. No one wants to believe it. That was going to go on the every database, federal and state and international, Interpol. And no one wanted to believe that. But it's been there for a while, but now they're amended. Agents with the FBI and Immigration and Customs Enforcement have turned state driver's license database into a facial recognition gold mine, scanning through hundreds of millions of Americans' photos without their knowledge or consent, newly released documents show. Thousands of facial recognition requests, internal documents, and emails over the past 5 years obtained through public record requests by Georgetown University researchers and provided to the Washington Post reveal the federal investigators have turned State Department of Motor Vehicles databases into the bedrock of an unprecedented surveillance infrastructure, just like the Holy Spirit told me is going to happen that day. And I had to be an example as to why I didn't want to volunteer to give this away. Police have long had access to fingerprints, DNA, and other biometric data taken from criminal suspects, but the DMV records contain the photos of majority of state residents, most of whom have never been charged with a crime. So now they admitted finally that I was right, and I'm sending this to our ex-governor, Manchin, and I'm going to be polite and say I told you so. They finally admitted it. It's been going on for years, but they finally admitted it. I told you so. Although I have to say, when I met with him personally, the last meeting I had, he looked over to his second guy in charge and said, Jimmy, take care of Pastor Butch and his friend's problems here. And they did. They did. They did. And back about 4 years ago, I had 3 years ago, I had to renew them. I went through a different process, but we did it again. It's not because I'm trying to be a rebel here. I was trying to make a point, Melody, that I was told to by my Father in Heaven. To warn the people that this is a huge step towards the numbering of people, and your unique number and your DNA, your fingerprints, and all biometric data is a number of a man, and that is you. It doesn't say in the Bible it's going to be number of one man's number is going to match everybody. It's a number of mankind, and each mankind's number is unique number. And you probably know this, Melody, but the barcode system. You know what barcodes are, of course.
Yeah.
You know what the main three numbers, the starting number, the middle number, and the last number is of the barcode, all barcodes? 666.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, World Wide Web, www, that's Hebrew for 666. So we see this tying together here, but nobody has their eyes open to want to see this. This praise God, the evidence is coming out that Butch Paul wasn't such a nut after all. Here it is, right in front of me. So.
Well, you know, I think you wanted to talk about this too. You have something on Orwell, and you know, we talk, and you know, when I think of draining the swamp, it isn't the politicians so much. It's a much bigger picture.
Much bigger picture.
And this is where I don't see any changes, discussions, or topics. And we have too much government and these big tech firms. They're partners working together. These big tech companies and even Amazon, they get paid by government. Your taxpayers, your money, not government money, your money to watch you.
Yes.
And this is what this article is about. It talks about the big government and big tech are partnering to track us everywhere. You know, and it all begins, and you know, this article goes into, you know, Orwell's 1984, talks about how the devices that operate as television, security cameras, microphones, it's all there to watch us. There was a study done. And the study found that digital assistants, Google Home, and Amazon Echo can be awake even when users think they aren't listening.
That's right.
Devices listen all the time they are turned on. And Amazon has envisioned Alexa using that information to build profiles on anyone in the room. Amazon filed a patent application for an algorithm that would let future versions of the device identify statements of interest, such as "I love skiing," enabling the speaker to be monitored based on their interest and targeted for related advertising. A Google patent application describes using a future release of its smart home system to monitor and control everything from screen time, hygiene habits, meal, travel schedules, other activities. And these devices are envisioned as part of a surveillance web in the home to chart a family's pattern.
That's right.
I mean, my gosh, you look at these four spying companies. You got Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Facebook. They are worth a combined almost $4 trillion. Our whole economy is $19 trillion. So, which means these four companies all by themselves are worth 19% of the United States. But it's big tech doing the spying. This article says not big government, but they're doing it. And what do you think government is going to be going to get all this information?
Well, that's just what the face recognition is all about. I just said that's where the government go to get that. Right to you and I, private documents, supposedly, our driver's license.
Yep. So they're going to partner. You're going to have big tech and you're going to have big brother. No one talks about, everyone's all focused on the swamp. That's not your enemy. Your enemy, well, it is part of your enemy, but it's these tech companies.
And the tech company, the tech company is building the foundation for the swamp.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And your millennials, do you think they're, you know, when was the last time you think any of them read 1984 and what they would think of it is, you know, it's their life anymore. And their parents conform to it. They encourage it.
Sure. They do.
So I don't see how we're going to eliminate any of this. The only thing that you can do as individuals is do the best you can. And the way I see it, the only way you can even be partially out of that system is, yeah, you don't get involved with your little Alexis and all this kind of stuff. You get that out of your home. You think all these security systems that you can monitor outside, and what do you think they're monitoring inside, too? So, and again, financially, yeah, I'm going to bring it back to that. Be independent. You can't be independent by holding all those fiat dollars.
That's true. And living off the government subsidies.
Yeah. They're not yours. It's not real. It's just a promise. Just a retirement account. It's a promise. It's a promise to pay you. And if it disappears, and I've heard someone tell me, well, it's a contract. Yeah, well, okay. If you want to believe in that contract... Be my guest.
Wasn't the Constitution a contract also?
Yes, it was.
When was the last time he enforced any of that, Cynthia? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A contract is only good if both parties are willing to enforce it. And that isn't happening.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about again about the AI. Do you know that Instagram is going to start featuring anti-bullying devices on there? And if they'll warn you the first time, and you might want to change your comment, or you're going to be kicked off Instagram. So now artificial intelligence is monitoring us to make sure we don't offend anybody. We have to have guardians on everything we do and everything we even say on Instagram or that we put out in public, because we may offend somebody. Melody Seedstrom, we have become such a nation of wimps and wusses. We may offend somebody.
I hear you. We have police departments across this country, from your major cities like Houston to towns with fewer than 30,000 people. They are offering free or discounted Ring doorbells to citizen. Sometimes they use taxpayers' funds to pay for these Amazon products. So while Ring owners are supposed to have a choice in providing police footage in some giveaways, police require recipients to turn over the footage when requested. The sheer number of cameras run by Amazon's Ring business raises questions about privacy involving both law enforcement and tech. More than 50 Wow. local police departments across the U.S. have partnered with Ring over the last 2 years, lauding how the Amazon products allow them to access security footage in areas that typically don't have cameras. I mean, doesn't anybody think this is a problem? I guess it's not a problem if you haven't experienced how to live without it.
And if you've become accustomed to it, you were acclimated to it a little bit at the time, as we all have been. You know that. You know that's true. But, you know, a Russian journalist was fined 50,000 rubles for controlling people's minds and affecting the human subconscious by referencing Orwell's 1984 novel in an article. He wrote it. His name is Mikhail Romanov. He accused Russian government of trying to control minds because he referenced the book. He was fined 50,000 rubles, which is 785 pounds in dollars. That's about $800, isn't it, Melody, in dollars and pounds? 785 pounds. I don't know how much that is per dollar. But yeah, this is even mind control to the point that if you reference something like Orwell in Russia, you get fined. How much control is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I listened to a broadcast again too, and you all know of 5G coming out. They're trying to roll it out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they have to have like $500 billion to get it out as soon as possible. Now, this I did not know. The reason we want it out now and get it running as quickly as possible because they want to bring in 6G. Now, I'm serious. Now, I look up online to make sure this is true, and that it's really, you can reference for yourself. 6G. Well, you'll be able to monitor your cell phone with your eye. No phone, nothing in front of your face. The screen will be on your eye, and you can scroll through your phone without looking at a phone. This will be inside your eye. Now, I'm not making this up, folks. I'm serious. Look for yourself. 5G is a step. It's a huge step, but not as big as everybody thinks it is. They're wanting 6G, and you look for yourself at monitoring your online information without a device in front of you. Melly, that's scary. That's scary. How much further are we going to let them go?
Well, there is no stopping.
I mean, for convenience sake, how nice should that be? You don't need anything in your hand. I don't know how this is. I read some of the article and I don't understand it. I'm not saying I understand it, but it's really part of the plan. Just let that sink in. And you could probably watch movies on your eyeball. I have no idea. But this is for real. 6G. Golly. Okay, I'll shut up.
You know what? It's this technology, if it could be used for good, how wonderful that would be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this technology could be fascinating It could be used for good. And maybe in some areas it is. I mean, when you see a lot of these paraplegics who can get up and maybe walk now due to computers and so forth in the medical, that's fabulous. But just like anything else, when you know, you're going to have the evil part of everything. And maybe it's always been there, I guess, Butch.
Yes, it had been.
So, but it just seems like, but there was always enough good to fight it.
And man's always taken devices that could be used for good and turn them somehow to evil. TV, radio, everything, you know that.
Yeah. But there was always enough people in the past. I'm not just not talking the last 20, 30 years. I'm talking people long ago. Always, there was enough good. There was enough faith. There was enough religious
values
to fight and keep things at bay. So the other side had learned what they had to do, and they had to infiltrate, I believe, our religious faith, Christianity.
Incrementalism.
And so they were able to infiltrate, and they were able to destroy it from within.
Yes, or try to, anyway.
They're not going to succeed. We all know that. But, you know,
there'll be a remnant left.
They weakened.
It does weaken. There'll be a remnant left. The Bible says there's only a remnant. Be left when Christ returns. He said, matter of fact, well, I'll find faith when I return. There'll be a remnant of the true church left when they return, but only a remnant. Oh my, we're out of time.
Yes. Thank you, Butch. It was a great program today. I hope the listeners enjoyed it. And we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be here with Wendy Wilson and Dave Allen. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.